السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. حضرت مفتي عبد القادر صاحب دام وبركاته، أهلا وسهلا ومرحبا to you on this beautiful Monday morning. الحمد لله the 30th of June 2025 corresponding with the 4th of Muharram 1447. May Allah Ta'ala grant you afiyat and afa afiyat, and Allah take great work of deen from you. Hazrat Mufti Sahib, the platform is yours.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. بارك الله فيكم مولانا سليم كريم. آمين آمين. To all the wonderful du'as and supplications. جزاك الله خيرا. To our technician, brother Junaid Khan. نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم. أما بعد، أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم. All praise due to Almighty Allah, the sustainer, nourisher and cherisher of the universe. Peace, blessings, and salutations be upon our beloved master and leader, Habibuna Mustafa Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Today is the 4th of Muharram 1447. With the grace and mercy of Almighty Allah Jalla Wala, we focus on chapter 49, Suratul Hujurat, and verse number 11. We told you from the outset that this chapter here, Surah Hujurat, refers to the rooms and apartments of the honorable mothers of this ummah, the wives of Mustafa Habibuna sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and it comprises 18 verses, and the ulama have called it Suratul Akhlaq, the chapter regarding character, morals and manners. So see in today's lesson, that a great lesson for each one of us in Islam, how to build unity and abstain from fragmentation and disunity, except in certain particular circumstances. So chapter 49 and verse number 11. Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu, ay iman walo, O you who believe, O you who attain faith. 89 different places in the noble Quran. Ala sabil al ikram wa takreem. Wherever Almighty Allah mentions this, it is to elevate our rank and status. You won't find a single place in the Quran Sharif, Ya ayyuha alladhina aslamu, O you Muslims, because the motivating factor is Iman. Islam is the external, how I'm speaking to you live and you are listening to me in the comfort of your home, Alhamdulillah. So the ruh, the soul, the spirit is within us, and the body is the external. So the eyes, ears, tongue, everything is functioning. So the ruh is the iman is the ruh, and Islam is the external. If the ruh, soul is not there, the eyes, ears, nothing will function. So similarly, yeah, as well, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu. So Allah Ta'ala mentions us to elevate our rank and status, and the converse for the non-Muslims is mentioned once in chapter 66, verse 7. That to humiliate and disgrace them, all the non-Muslims who are sane and mature. Ya ayyuha alladhina kafaru. Chapter 66, verse 7. O you non-Muslims, today the day of justice. La ta'tadhiru al-yawm. Do not cite and give any excuses. No excuses will be accepted, not negotiable. Innama tujzawna ma kuntum ta'malun. You will be punished according to your deeds and actions. So the first law, La yashar qawmun min qawmin asa an yakunu khayran minhum. O you the men. So ye qawmun will refer to the men. M-E-N. Why? You will understand just now. So you the men, you're not allowed to mock and scoff any other man. Why? Maybe the people you are mocking and scoffing at, they are better than you by Almighty Allah Jalla Wala and Mustafa Habibuna Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Take this verse and this portion of the verse and apply it in our life. Why do we mock people? Because of their complexion. We say, yeah, this guy is from Malawi, this guy is from Mozambique, this guy is from India, either India Varache. You see? It's mockingly we're saying it, we know that. And sometimes we mock people because of their language. This guy is a Apra, this guy is a Meman, this guy is a Urdu, this guy. We're not saying it to respect, we are saying it to mock that person there. And so, like that, you must remember to mock people, and the man is haram, that is not permissible. And it smacks of arrogance, and it smacks of ta'assub, of prejudiceness and biasness. So in Islam, nothing like that has got virtue. You must remember, you will do just 9, 1, 2 days' time. The only criteria by Almighty Allah is chapter 49, verse 13. Inna akramakum indallahi atqakum. Verily, the most noble of you is the one who has the greatest taqwa and piety, Allah consciousness, at all times, all places. So that is for us, the men. وَلَا نِسَاءٌ مِّن نِسَاءٍ عَسَىٰ أَن يَكُنَّ خَيْرًا مِّنْهُنْ. Almighty Allah mentions it separately, because the women, they are more guilty than the men in this. They will always mock one another, especially, remember, if they're not their jat, if they're not their village people, if they're not from their own language group, if they're not from their complexion. So remember, we don't say all women, but definitely we'll say majority women. And it's haram for a lady or ladies to mock other ladies. The people and the lady you are mocking is more beloved to Almighty Allah and Mustafa Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam than you. So why are you mocking them? Because their hair is not straight, so you're mocking them. They're not so fair in your complexion, so you mock them. They don't speak your tal, your language, and your gam, and so forth. So your gam's dialect, so now you mock them. So all this is haram in Islam. We should know these things here. And the amount of ta'assub we have, there is a hadith in the marasil. Ta'assub means prejudiceness, biasness. The amount of ta'assub and prejudiceness, biasness, we have the hadith in the marasil of Abu Dawood. That amount of iman is extracted from the heart of that person. Darne ka maqam. We all should fear Almighty Allah Jalla Wala. Next one, وَلَا تَلْمِزُوا أَنفُسَكُمْ. And do not look for faults within one another. Deliberately you start going from here to there. What fault this person got? What fault this person got? Sometimes you don't have to look for fault. The people themselves are exposing their faults. So when you warn them, you tell them, but their pride, arrogance will not accept it. So then remember, Amal bin Ma'ruf, Nanil Munkar must come in. That you're telling them what they are doing is haram, but they will not listen. So then we have to expose them also if the ulama and scholars and muqtada. Muqtada means they are leaders in the society, community. People look at their actions and speech and will take it as a hujjat, as a dalil and evidence. Therefore, Imam Abu Hanifa, rahimahullah, in his wasaya and final advices to his celebrated student, Imam Abu Yusuf, who was his greatest student, our Ustad Mufti Ashik Ilahi al-Muhajir al-Madani. So he passed away in Madinah Munawwara and is buried there in Baqi. So he wrote a whole book on this, the wasaya, the final advices of Imam Abu Hanifa, rahimahullah, to Imam Abu Yusuf. So if you see people of the dunya, they're doing this deal, you tell them and finish. But if it is ulama and scholars and so forth and so on doing these type of things, and you tell them and they don't listen, then you must name them, shame them, nail them, uzgurhum fasiqa. They take their name in the public and take their name and mention it. You see, go read. It's not from our side we're saying these things here. Yeah? So remember, وَلَا تَلْمِزُوا أَنفُسَكُمْ. But we all are guilty. We look for this person's fault. حبيبنا رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم said, "Tuba man shaghalahu aibuhu an uyub an-nas." Great tidings to that person, for him is Jannah, who so engrossed looking at his own faults, he doesn't have much time to look at the faults of others. So when I say all, we mean majority of us. We are like that. And that's a weakness in human being. Wala tanabazu. So there's a second law. Third one. Wala tanabazu bil alqab. And do not call one another with derogatory names and so forth. So now remember that you call a person, "Hey, you kafir, oh you khabis, oh you zani, oh you this." So you tell that person you are a non-Muslim, or you tell him you are a fornicator, adulteress, or you tell him you are a shababi, you are a dikdaru the whole time, or you dakhal worker, or you druggy. You see, all these here are examples of derogatory names and so forth. So here quickly three discussions. Number one is if it is used, ala sabilil imtiyaz. So that is how you distinguish the person. There are many Abdullah. So one Abdullah is Abdullah Maiman. So you call it Abdullah Maiman. But you know it's not derogatory, it is used. You must remember to distinguish him. Abdullah Aswad, that you say Abdullah Aswad, Abdullah the dark looking one. So it is used for imtiaz, so that is permissible for distinction. Abdullah Al-A'raj, you see, he has a limp, he walks a little bit crippled. So then it is permissible. We use the term scholars for dollars many a time. You must remember, and even now I'm using it. That is in the hadith. What will you say of the hadith? Mustafa Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam called those people Abdul Dirham, Abdul Dinar. That those people who go and change the Sharia and their aim is to make money and so forth and so on. So they are the slaves of the Dirham and Dinar, of the gold coins and the silver coins. So it's the same meaning, and that is the scholars for dollars. So you must remember, when we making haram things halal, that this is Sharia compliant, this food, this chicken, this meat is halal, deep down we know it's haram. So what is the rationale? The rationale is the money. So the scholars for dollars will be applicable. So we must understand what Quran Sharif and Sunnah Mubarakah is teaching. بِئْسَ الْإِسْمُ الْفُسُوقُ بَعْدَ الْإِيمَانِ. People were non-Muslim and now they embrace Islam. So now you still call them a kafir, hey you mushrik, idol worshipper, oh you jutla, you understand? But the person embrace Islam, you still call him a Jew. So Almighty Allah states, bi'sa, horrible, terrible is, lismul fusuqu ba'dal iman. You call a person by that name, transgression and derogatory name, after he or she embrace Islam. So we must remember that's absolutely haram and not permissible. So end of the day, the law is this. It's not permissible to mock people, to use derogatory titles, to look for fault and so forth. But in some cases, it is compulsory to do so. Why? To expose them so that the other people don't get led astray by them. Oh, easy example. People tell me, Gal Aviyai. You know what is the meaning of Gal Aviyai? There is a proposal from ABC family. XYZ boy is interested in our daughter. You know that family well. So what do you say? So I will just tell them, this is my straightforward answer. If it is my daughter, my son, I will not allow it. So we don't have to go into 101 explanations. We just give them a simple answer and the job is done. So you won't call that ghibat and backbiting. That is to save people from the harm of other people. وَمَنْ لَمْ يَتُوبْ. And who does not repent? We all are guilty. Quran Kareem states, وَتُوبُوا إِلَى اللَّهِ جَمِيعًا. All of you without exclusion, exemption, must make tawbah and repent. أَيُّهَا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ. Yet to iman ka taqaza hai, that is the demand of the faith and iman. لَعَلَّكُمْ تُفْلِحُونَ. So that you will be successful. وَمَنْ لَمْ يَتُوبْ. We are guilty, we committing these sins, So if you don't make tawbah, فَأُولَٰئِكَ مُظَالِمُونَ, those are the transgressors. Now here we need to know the law. At-tawbatu mithlu al-hawba. If the crime was committed publicly, you closed the masjid publicly, you went to court publicly, so you have to repent publicly, otherwise not acceptable. We committed the crime privately, so remember, we make tawbah privately. So that is the law of Islam. Allahumma ij'alna min at-taibin wa at-taibat. May Almighty Allah make us from those servants of Him who regularly make sincere tawbah and repent. Inna Allah yuhibbu at-tawwabin wa yuhibbu al-mutatahhirin. Verily, Almighty Allah Azza wa Jalla loves those people, male, female, who repent sincerely and abundantly, and those people who are very meticulous and particular of their cleanliness externally and internally. So that are the actions we should try and strive to attain and obtain. Allah grant us tawfiq. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Today is the 4th of Muharram, 1447. These are the news, views, interviews, locally, nationally, internationally, and globally. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. During the past weekend, 5 jutras were killed, the Jews, Zionists, dispatched straight to hell. We say Allahu Akbar, Alhamdulillah, we're very happy and pleased with that. We do not sympathize and empathize with the jutras. These people, jutras, have written in the Haaretz newspaper, 20 soldiers were dispatched to hell in the past 29 days, meaning from the beginning of June. So very good. And the number is underplayed, I can tell you that. It's much more than that. But remember, they have to be very careful, otherwise they will ban them. So 23 Palestinians killed yesterday and martyred yesterday by the Israeli diaper force, haramis, murderers, baby killers. From the 23 Palestinians killed, 3 were children. So when we say there is a genocide going on there in Gaza, there is ethnic cleansing, crimes against humanity, and remember the Western powers, America, United States, and Europe, and majority of the Western countries, and the Arab tanpot dictators, murtads, haramis, out of the fall of Islam, the governments, so remember, they all are guilty of siding with Israel. But Allah chooses whoever He wants, even non-Muslims. The hadith is mentioned in Bukhari Sharif. Inna Allah la yu'ayyidu hadha deen bi rajul al-fajir. Verily, Allah Ta'ala will sometimes use non-Muslims to aid and assist this deen. So there is a musical band. We know that band and all that music is haram, instruments are haram. So they go as kneecap. That's the name of the band, right? And the main guy there is Bob Dylan. So Bob Dylan, what he did, first time I heard his name yesterday. So anyway, he was singing there. 200,000 people were there in the stadium, you know. And you know how the people go crazy and they're all moving and the Palestinian flags are flying. And death to IDF and freedom to Palestine, free, free Palestine, you see. And the BBC carried it live, the Zionists and the Jutlas you understand, really, really upset and outraged about this. You must remember, they livid about what had happened. But Allah is exposing you. You are guilty of genocide. You are murderers. You are baby killers. And Allah Ta'ala transformed you into pigs and into swines and into monkeys. And your rabbis are donkeys. All this is enshrined in the noble Quran. Chapter 5, Surah Ma'idah, verse number 60. Chapter 62, verse number 5. And you will find that Almighty Allah speaks of the rabbis, kamathalil himari yahmilu asfara. They're just like donkeys, remember, carrying big, big encyclopedias. And there in Europe, there is a huge, huge heat wave. Some two people even died in Spain. That in Spain, some places, they reach 46 degrees. You know, that is too hot for them. And then France, Italy, Greece, also big, big problems. In parts of Turkey also, there's big problems. The fires are raging on, and it is still not under control. And there they have all these smart, smart hotels for the tourists and so forth. They're all very, very scared now, frightened, that their hotels must not get burnt and so forth. Israel, the Haaretz exposed this. This was a deliberate policy of the IDF, shoot to kill the unarmed Palestinians who are coming there to take aid and to take food. So America must be to blame, Israel must be to blame. We need to name them, shame them, and call them what they are. You see, these kind of cases, that verses I read now is not applicable. We must state it as it is. America, Israel are murderers, mass murderers, and they are the super terrorists. We need to name them, shame them, and nail them. That is what Islam teaches us. So Trump wants to give a sweetener to Iran. He says that, no, you don't make any nuclear and so forth and so on. And then the sanctions will be lifted on Iran. Iran told him, go to hell. You don't come and dictate to us. So Trump says he wants to cancel the trial, the corruption trial of BB, Netanyahu, the war criminal, so that the peace process can go on. So what the hell that got to do with the peace process? That you, Trump, you are guilty 5 times. You, American Biden, Trump, you all vetoed it in the United Nations, remember, Security Council. So who's guilty? You are the handler of the dog. The bulldog is Israel, and you're the handler. So both of you are guilty, and America is more guilty than them. So the trial of Netanyahu has been postponed for 1 week. It's supposed to start today, but it will start next week. You know, he's always playing for time. And now they're plotting, planning, scheming, what else we can do. Big fire in America, and the snipers are shooting the fireworks. You see that? The guys come, you must remember, the fire engines are there, the fire workers are there, and they are snipers, and the snipers are using high power, you understand, guns and whatever, what else. You know, in America, they gun crazy, and they're shooting these fire workers and so forth. Some of them are dead, some of them are injured, they don't know the exact number. Alhamdulillah. Allama harrik buyutahum, Allama dammir diyarahum, Allama khalif bayna qulubi musufufim. America burns, we get very happy about it, the haramis. So Iran has banned Starlink of Elon Musk. They said, you Musk, you go back to America, go back to South Africa, go to hell also. So that's the message Iran gave him. And thereafter, Iran says they're going to develop a bomb in few months' time, and that is the message coming from the IAEA. That Rafael Grossi, whatever the hell his name. So he says we must inspect because they can build and they have enough nuclear and uranium and whatever there to establish and make a bomb in few months. So why you don't tell Israel you want to check up and so forth and so on? You say, no, they're not a signatory. So what the hell if they're not a signatory? Everything, you'll have special rules for Israel, but the same rules don't apply to Iran. So it's right what Iran said, go to hell. We were negotiations and you bombed us. America bombed us, Israel bombed us. So I also will agree with Iran. They pakka kafir as far as the Shia goes. But what is the truth? We have to say, Gideon Levy says, oh, you Netanyahu, Netanyahu, you'll carry on like this, then 100% you'll be guilty of genocide there in Gaza. 32 people killed in Pakistan due to floods, you must remember that. And that's in various parts of Pakistan, you know, Karachi and the Khyber area and so forth. 13 soldiers killed in Pakistan, and that is there in the Balochistan area and so forth, Waziristan. So they're blaming India and so forth. India are very upset about that. I want to share one story with you. I'll give it to my team. And inshallah, we'll just block the face and all that. Listen to this story. Very, very interesting. You see, when I speak to you Shias and sympathizers of Shias, then you'll think I'm taking out from my pocket and so forth. This lady's name is Catherine, right? She's born and bred there in France. And she's a French, she's a Jewess, right? A Jewish lady, so Jewess. And she grew up there, and then she got a little bit interested in Islam and so forth. She married a Sunni guy, a Yemeni guy, right? But that Yemeni guy's family would not accept her because her background was Jewish and so forth. She's a Jew. Always conflict, rows and ructions and tension. So he divorced her then. Then she got interested, let me go to Iran. So now is a French lady, fair in complexion. She lands in Iran. And she uses a French passport, and she says and tells the authorities there, me, I'm interested in Shiite Islam. I'm interested in Shiite Islam, Shia Islam. That's what the French lady, white lady, told them. They were elated, delighted. And then they said, welcome, welcome. And then they made a like, proper Muslim. A proper Muslim, according to them, Shia the Kafir. So remember, they did all this. But she had a hidden agenda. She was acting on behalf of Mossad. You see that? And then she used mut'ah. I always tell you about the prostitution. By her own mere confession and admission, she says, I slept with more than 100 of these officers and these characters and whatever else. So in the higher echelons of power and the highest, highest. And I went up and up and up. I used to go to the Ayatullah. I used to go to the big officers. I used to go and I sleep with them, over 100 of them. Why? 1 hour hit and run a quickie. You understood? And that is how she got all the secrets. She even was responsible, according to some sources, for the assassination of Ismail Haniya, our leader. So she's now breaking the story and so forth, Catherine. So once I can block it, I'll send out the story. So that is the queen of Muta destroys Iran. That's the Lee story, they got the name, queen of Muta. You should write Queen of Muta Prostitution. Khomeini la'anatullahi alayhi rahmatullah, alayhi la'anatullah, not rahmatullah, la'anatullah upon him. So he writes in his book, Tawdihul Masail, which I have, you can make Muta Prostitution for 1 hour. So what you going to say now, oh you Shias and you Shia sympathizers, pakka kafir you are. So remember South African news, you know the banks, Capitec and First National Bank, tomorrow, 1st July, they want to charge their account holders 80 rand for ATM, 80 rand for ATM withdrawals. That will be the fee, and their customers and clients are outraged. You must remember that is Capitec and First National Bank. Water danger in South African schools. Now you see ANC. You're hopeless, useless, you know. That this can't be allowed. That the children going to school, now they can't even drink water because the water is polluted and so forth in many schools. Hopeless you guys are. You only know how to steal and corruption and cronyism. That is your policy. The DA has quit the national dialogue. The national dialogue will cost us, the taxpayers' money, 700 million rand. Waste of time. And now DA, because their deputy minister was fired by Cyril, they pulled out. And you know Fikile. Fikile Baudet, you see, the Secretary General of ANC told them, if you want to get out of the government of national unity, you can do so. And the government of national unity will still function. SESCO, you know the teachers and all of them, they say they fed up with the minister, that Inkabani, and she must be fired, you must remember that. And they all, 90%, 70% of the ministers, deputy ministers are good for nothing. They should be fired and relieved of their duty. A question has been posed in the media. Does South Africa really require all these deputy ministers or should we fire them? I'll be the first one to say fire them and fire the ministers also who are incompetent and so forth and so on. The Muslim Women's Magazine is out and all of you should try and purchase a copy. The July edition is out. Wonderful articles there on Muharram, Q&A, media, and so forth. So, inshallah, 25 rand, you won't die or something. There you just spend money for sweets and chocolates and all that. So, buy it, inshallah, the Muslim Woman Magazine. Very good. Our programs today, Monday, inshallah, 8:30 to 9, Mawzaid will interview me. We will discuss Muharram and from a Sunni perspective and from a Shia perspective. So that will be our topic today. And inshallah, between 1 and 2 will be tafsir of the Noble Quran. And report back will be trip to Delmas and Arjun. But we'll just say Delmas. And then remember that inshallah, at night will be 8 to 10 live Q&A. So that will be with Hafiz Wadi and myself, inshallah. That will be on Sirius FM, Radio Al-Ansar, and on Markaz Sahaba. So that is the, you know, the Q&A live, inshallah, Al-Aziz, tonight, and between 8 and 10. Jim or Salim, we have 14, 15 minutes, inshallah. Let us start with the Q&A.
Mufti Sahab, is breastfeeding past 2 years old prohibited?
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. We must remember that the Quran Kareem states, وَفِصَالُهُ فِي عَامَيْنِ, that once you are breastfeeding, the maximum period is 2 lunar years. And this is clearly enshrined in the noble Quran. So that's why the Shafi'is, the Malikis, the Hanbalis, and Imam Abu Hanifa's greatest students, Imam Abu Yusuf, Imam Muhammad bin Hassan Shaybani, so they all agree on that. And they say 2 lunar years, and that is the maximum. And more than that, that is not permissible according to them. But Imam Abu Hanifa, rahimahullah, is a genius, so he looks at something else. So this is enshrined in Surah Luqman, chapter 31, verse 14, وَفِصَالُهُ فِي عَامَيْنِ. So that is that the weaning period must be 2 years. Finished now, you can't go more than two. So Imam Abu Hanifa says, no, let us look at another verse also. It's not that now today you breastfeed your baby and then tomorrow he'll just leave it. You know, there'll be big problems between the mother and child and so forth. So he looked at another verse and said that وَحَمْلُهُ وَفِصَالُهُ ثَلَاثُونَ شَهْرًا. And he says that, what must we do? We must say that the maximum period for breastfeeding is 30 months. So it means 30 months, 2.5 years, lunar years. So it's very good. We must remember, we must try to finish up in 2 years. But sometimes it's not practical and easy. So therefore, there will be leeway for another 6 months as well, you must remember. So that is what Imam Abu Hanifa, rahimahullah, states. And this is in the Quran Sharif. Go open Surah 46, Surah Ahqaf, and verse number 15. So, وَلِكُلِّ وِجْهَةٍ, everybody got, you must remember their own dalail. If I look at myself, and you know, when you speak to our beloved parents and so forth. So, I went over two years, 2.5 years and so forth. So, the thing will be, is it a sin that now you are breastfeeding your son, your daughter, 26 months, 28 months, 29 months? So, Imam Abu Hanifa say, no sin. And the Shafi'is, Malikis, Hanbalis, and Imam Hanifa's students will say not permissible, sinful, and so forth. So that will be the difference of opinion on that issue.
Mufti Sahib, if the husband drinks the wife's milk, will the nikah be terminated?
That's a hot question. You must remember, you must tell the husband, Papa, downstairs is for you and upstairs is for the baby. What you doing there upstairs? You know your wife is breastfeeding there. So it's not permissible, you must remember. But in a case like that, the nikah will still be valid. But for you to drink the milk, and all, history repeats itself. At-tarikhu yu'idu nafsahu. He was drinking his mother's milk, now he got busy with his wife's milk. You see that? So that is haram, not permissible. But the nikah is still valid, no problem with the nikah.
Mufti Sahib, I have a caregiver that is registered with a Muslim company. She wants to accept Islam, but her husband refuses. Can she accept Islam and still live with her husband?
My sister, once you embrace Islam, then our constitution is the noble Quran and the Sunnah Mubarakah, the teaching, preaching of Mustafa Habibuna Rahmatulil Alameen Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Muslim, Muslima, Islam. What does it mean? It means one who submits lovingly, willingly, sincerely to Him, Almighty Allah Jalla Wala, and to Mustafa Habibuna Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Go open, my sister, my brother, chapter 60, Surah 60, Surah Mumtahina, verse number 10. La hunna hillun lahum, wa la hum yahilluna lahun. So you embrace Islam, mashallah. Then for you to stay there with your husband who is a non-Muslim, remember that is not permissible, that you can't be staying there and living as a married couple. Your marriage will break, finish, end of the story. So you, the Muslim lady, are not permissible for any non-Muslim male. وَلَا هُمْ يَحِلُّونَ لَهُونَ. So there must be no doubt left and no ambiguity regarding this issue. So remember that they, the non-Muslim men, whether they Jew, Christian, Hindu, atheist, or Buddhist, or whatever, they're not halal, not permissible for the Muslim lady. In today's society, we see people say you must be broad-minded, so they get their Muslim daughter married to a non-Muslim male. She is posing and happy about it. The media is there, the videos are there. The parents are giving their blessings. She becomes murtadda. The parents become murtad and out of the fold of Islam. There's no two opinions on that issue. Something which is clear-cut haram and you are saying it's permissible and you condone it, so you're out of the fold of Islam. So we need to be very clear. Such people, we need to boycott them and expel them from our communities and societies.
Muftisab, is Imam Ghazali rahmatullah alayhi's books authentic to read and follow?
If you read the life history and the biography of Sheikh Yusuf Qardawi rahimahullah, he passed away now a few years ago at the ripe old age of 96. We met him in Makkah Mukarramah, met him in South Africa. So in Makkah Mukarramah, in the conference, we all had to attend together. Nevertheless, so he says, in my formative years, that our mother, our parents, our teachers would read about Imam Ghazali's works, and he says it had a very great impression on me. I used to cry so much, you know, like how when we grew up, our mother, our nani ma, grandparents, and so they would read stories of the awliyaullah. I remember vividly that nani ma would read stories of Pirane Pir Hazrat Sheikh Sayyidina Abdul Qadir Jilani Nawwarallahu Marqadahu, and we would be crying and so forth, stories of Sahaba and so forth. So you build up the children, you see. And then he wrote a book which every Mawlana, every Imam, every Sheikh, every person should have. Al-Imam al-Ghazali Baina Madihihi wa Baina Naqidihi. Imam Ghazali, written by him, Sheikh Yusuf Qardawi, rahimahullah. Those who praise him and those who criticize him. One thing everybody agrees, if you know Islam, that is. Now, you're not speaking of people who don't know whether they're coming or going. So Imam Ghazali was not considered a great scholar in hadith. He himself realized it, you must remember that. Therefore, when Imam Ghazali, Abu Hamid Ghazali, passed away, then he passed away while studying Bukhari Sharif, and then the Kitab Bukhari Sharif fell on his chest because his ruh had just left his body. So there was weakness in that. He himself stated, Imam Ghazali stated himself, wa ahadithi mujjat. When the brothers of Nabi Yusuf alayhi salatu salam came, they came with money that was like counterfeit. It was drought and they had nothing. And then they said, we came, bibidatim musjatin. We have come with this, O person, O king, O ruler, have mercy on us. And that's the time Nabi Yusuf alayhi salatu salam looked at them. Hal alimtum ma fa'altum bi Yusuf wa akhihi antum jahilun? Do you remember what you did to Yusuf and his brother Binyamin, Benjamin, when you were ignorant? Then they looked and asked him, you are Yusuf? So yes, the compassion took over. They embraced and they cried and the heavens cried. Remember that? So that is life. Kaya padalta data hai. Sometimes the tables get turned. You see that? So you must remember Imam Ghazali, Abu Hamid, rahimahullah, says, when I quote hadith, you must go and verify it, because many of my ahadith I quote are not authentic. Therefore, when I should teach students in Darul Uloom and now on A and so forth, I say, if you read any book of Imam Ghazali and he quotes a hadith, don't accept it unless you go and verify it by other muhaddithin and scholars. So that is a slight weakness. He himself admitted to it, Imam Abu Hamid al-Ghazali. A genius and giant he was, and his works we can never ever forget. Rahimahullah wa rahmatan wasiya.
Isab, I wanted to ask, what happens if a woman does not sit in iddat properly, like leaving the home often and changing her locations often?
Let's take the example. This is applicable to all women, right? So you must remember, but let's say the husband divorced her, or the husband passed away. So there's iddat upon the lady. So where she has to sit for iddat, now her husband passed away. Surah 2, Surah Baqarah, verse 234. So Almighty Allah states, Arba'ata ashhurin wa ashra, that 130 days you have to sit in the house. And remember that you can't be wearing new clothes. You can't be gallivanting here to the mall and meet Paul and all those. And you can't be wearing jewelry and applying henna and mehndi. So all this here are very clear cut. We must remember there's unanimity. Now you go out and start going to the mall and meeting Paul and all. So Allah Ta'ala's curse is on you and you have to make tawbah and repent. Similarly, the husband gave his wife talaq and so forth. So the same laws will apply, except if the husband gave one talaq-e-raj'i or two talaq-e-raj'i revocable divorce, then the wife should stay there in that house and push herself up to try and seduce the husband and to make the home and not break the home. So these are the laws. So when a woman violates the laws of iddat and she doesn't observe it properly, she becomes mal'una and cursed by Almighty Allah Azza wa Jalla and Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Mufti Sahib, can two ladies travel to Medina without mahrams to meet their mahrams who are already there? They have no mahrams with them here to take them there.
Let's say they are ladies from South Africa or India, Pakistan or Timbuktu, Africa, Europe and America. And now they travel to the ladies. And then they will meet their brother or their husband or who nephew there in Makkah or Medina or Jeddah or wherever. Is that permissible? That's the question. Absolutely haram it is. Instead of getting reward, you get adab. And remember, there's ijma and consensus on this. For ladies to travel alone for umrah, which is not compulsory, so in a case like that, totally haram according to all four schools. The Shafi'is and the Maliki say the only gunjaish, the only scope will be given is for those ladies who they don't have mahram, they're not available, maybe they're sickly or whatever, old and what have you. And it's a farz hajj, not nafil hajj. Nafil hajj also is not permissible. It's a farz hajj, not a voluntary hajj. Then they can go, right, in a group of women, ma'a jama'atin nisa'i siqat, for farz hajj according to Malikis and Shafi'is. In that case also, the Hanbalis and the Hanafis say it's not permissible, that lady must write down a wasiya in her will that somebody must perform hajj anil ghair, hajj badal, that a hajj on her behalf and so forth. So for umrah, totally haram and not permissible. Last question.
Isab, my mother generally reads her witr for Isha at the Hajj time. However, she forgot to read it yesterday. Does she still have to make qaza for it?
Remember to read witr tahajjud time. That's excellent. That was the adat sharifa of Mustafa rahmatulil alameen sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Read 8 rakats taraweeh, 8 rakats, you must remember tahajjud. 8 rakats tahajjud and then read the 3 rakats witr. So that was the normal habit of the Master sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You open Bukhari, Muslim, all that, you'll find it. And each alu akhira salati from the lady witr is hadith in Muslim Sharif. Make your witr salat, the last salat. Like now, you read witr, for example, 5 o'clock, like that in the morning, quarter past 5, before the sehri time expires and so forth. Now this lady forgot it. So then you must make qaza of it. It's compulsory upon you, kala masi. And read this dua also. The last verse of Surah Baqarah, chapter 2, verse 286. Rabbana la tu'akhidna in nasina aw akhta'na. Oh, beloved Allah, do not take us to task and punish us for that which we did forgetfully or inadvertently and unintentionally. The last ayat and verse of Surah Baqarah, chapter 2, verse 286. Barakallahu feekum wa salim. And inshallah, 8:30, we'll meet you all. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.